Attention, attention, class is now in session. For those who don't know who I am, my name is Kareem, but most know me as Keys, and I'm a seasoned coach. And my job is to help independent musicians find and engage their target audience so that they can grow their fan base and turn that love into cash. That is my purpose. And the purpose of this podcast you're listening to is to get you more fans and more money. It's simple. This episode that I'm bringing you today is for the file hoarders who constantly create music but don't release it. If that's you, nod your head. Yeah, I'm talking to you. That music you have just chilling, collecting digital dust could easily be making you dollars. This is also for the folks who just like to objectively create music. Yep, you're not excluded either. What I'm about to do today is plug y'all in with something that'll make you want to reconsider your actions. So don't say that Keys never looked out for you, okay? If you're not new to the show, you definitely will know that I love bringing really great guests up here today. I have Ken, the CEO of a platform called Surf, and his awesome platform is all about bringing power back to the creators. I want you guys to understand that Surf Music is a digital tool and marketplace for creators to sell their unreleased music to buyers across the global entertainment industry, not just locally, not just in your country, but the entire global entertainment industry, okay? In other words, what I'm saying is that they're trying to get you paid. So am I. But before we roll into this interview with Ken, I'd like to remind you all that if you'd like to unlock the secret to monetizing your music following and turning your fans into paying customers, I have a free training where you will learn how to grow and monetize a fan base, all while introducing you to my system to turn that into consistent profit, even if you feel like you've tried everything under the sun. I bet you haven't tried what I'm going to show you. So the training is free. You can click the link in the show notes. And after you've watched, schedule a call with me. The call will be 45 minutes long. And what I'm going to do is help you craft the exact strategy you need to convert your fans to cash. Now, with that being said, let's dive into the discussion about Surf so you can hear exactly how they intend to put more money in your pocket. This was an awesome conversation, and I hope that you enjoy it just as much as I did. All right, let's get it.
Can you tell us a bit about your background in music and how it led you to create Surf Music?
Sure, yeah. I'm Ken Kabori, and I've been a music producer for over 20 years. And I'm based in Tokyo, Japan now. I used to be based in New York. So I started out working at Sony Music Studios in NYC. From there, created my own production company in 2003. And that's still running. That's where I do all my compositions and production work. But, I think, this whole platform of Surf really stemmed from the experiences I've had as a music producer and also the experiences I've had as a director at Universal Music for 2 years in Japan and so forth and so on. But, the whole platform, the idea came up when I left my management company about maybe four or five years ago. And I was having trouble finding new people to work with, new artists to work with, new A&Rs to connect with, just because I was locked up in the studio constantly making music. And I really didn't know any other producers in Japan either. And I knew musicians because I work with them, but studio musicians. But yeah. And I was like, won't it be great if I could just, have a page online where I could just upload all the songs once it's done, put it up on the site and get record labels, publishers, and artists from around the world to be able to choose songs from my catalog for exclusive placements. And so from this simple idea, we developed Surf Music. And what Surf Music is, it's a B2B platform that connects anybody that makes music in the world to record labels, publishers, and to artists who are looking for exclusive placements. So we're a B2B marketplace. But in addition to that, we've designed Surf to have two different logins. One login is the creator's login, and that's primarily focused on community building. And this is where our AI will be able to recommend other producers that you should work with based on your catalog that you upload. So that's pretty exciting too. And also we will be adding more features as we move along to make connectivity within the music community in the world a lot closer than it is right now, and also provide tools where they could collaborate within our platform, so forth and so on. On the buyer's end, we've designed it as almost like a Microsoft Office, kind of like it's a B2, it's a business oriented a platform where A&Rs can now search for music, cut and paste their a song they want, their reference link, whether it's on Spotify or YouTube, cut and paste that into the search engine, and they'll be able to find the closest matching songs to that within their within the marketplace, but also within their computer. So they can upload a bunch of unreleased music that they've gathered over the years and give it second life by putting it onto their surf page.
I
Obviously,
love
that won't
that.
be on the marketplace. Yeah. So
Yeah.
now everything is automatically tagged by AI. I organize. So when you search for music, you can search from the marketplace, but also from your private catalog that you've been collecting over the years. And yeah, that's and also like the whole process of searching for songs is still very analog in Japan. They have their
Yeah.
standard mailing list, they send out their briefs, and then they get zip files of songs. They gotta unzip it, put it into iTunes, create playlists, and then share that with their team. It's just so much that goes on that's super analog, and we
Yeah.
just made it easier. So now directors can create briefs within their page, and obviously, they just fill out this song brief card, and once they enter it, it turns out really nice with the photo there and the URL links and whatnot. And they can actually, once they submit that, all the creators on our platform can submit to these competitions. And when they submit to these competitions, the closest match to the reference that the A&R gives comes up on top of their playlist. So people could keep submitting songs, but the closest match will appear on top for the so
That
it's
is
easy
so
for
cool.
yeah. And also on top of that, they could share their brief link. Once they create a brief, they could create a URL that they could share their traditional way on email, on their email list, or through their chat service, WhatsApp or whatever. And people that click on that will be sent to the brief page, where now they could drag and drop tracks from their desktop and submit to this brief. And those songs that are submitted even outside of the Surf platform, just with the link, will be put into that director's brief playlist, and the closest matching, as always, will be up on top. So it
Yeah.
saves the director a lot of time. And as the whole process of song selection is it's a long, tedious process, especially because there's so much wasted time. Like, you don't get instant response or feedback from the artist. You have to kind of wait for that next meeting or what Not, or you have to go through their manager, this and that, but our goal is, later this year we'll be launching the Surf app on Android and on the App Store. So now you could do all A&Rs could do everything they could do on their desktop, on their phone, creating briefs, being able to communicate with their artists, building teams, like if, say, for example, Ariana Grande has like four directors, all four of them could sync the playlist together and being able to communicate with the artist, but also with their team. So it's kind of like a Slack for music also in that sense. And obviously, our AI will constantly be learning the search habits of these directors. So once our system learns, what kind of music they're searching for, it'll automatically be able to generate playlists from new songs that come in every week and present that to the director. So it'll be constantly pitching music that the system thinks that the director will like. So basically, your music is being pitched while you sleep, and the
Yeah,
AI
it's
is
crazy.
really, So it's like, there's so many different aspects to what we do,
Yeah.
but our true mission is really, bringing back power to the creators, and creating that bridge between the East and the West has been our primary focus.
Yeah, I love that. I love how like the passion took over as soon as you talked about how like analog everything was, and it was like, I absolutely need a solution for this because this is outrageous, right? And that's cool. That's how all great things are created. Someone's just like, yeah, I hated how things were, and so I just went and made it. So I commend you and the team for that. And One thing you said that really stood out to me was, you know, how it is about bringing the power back to the creator, right? And as I hear about all these different things that the platform can do, in my mind, I just started thinking about revenue, right? That's what starts going off in my mind. So my question to you is, how would you say that surf music empowers artists and helps them earn a sustainable living? Because I could think of a few ways, but you know, I'd rather hear.
So basically our revenue model is a subscription model. So creators choose their plan. Right now we only have the pro plan, which is the highest tier. Just so, you know, when we open our doors, we're able to make sure that people signing up are truly serious at doing this and not just opening accounts, you know, like to be part of the community. So, you know, it is priced at our highest tier at $50 per account per month.
That's worth it, in my opinion.
And on the buyer's end too, the record labels, we've signed on most of the major labels in Japan already as paid subscribers. And we're working with several in Korea also, and also in the States. And, you know, basically they will be paying about $100, 100 US per account for using our service. And, you know, the big labels have all ordered their accounts and everything. So, you know, now we have a group of paid users who are actually going to use our platform, not just because the higher ups say, you know, we're going to subscribe to Surf so you get an account. No, but each label is going to each A&R like, do you want to use this service? And if they say yes, they get an account. So it's not like they're giving it out to everybody. So these people that are searching for music are serious. And we've been getting inquiries about, you know, people sending out briefs. They want to hold certain songs. And, you know, this whole, you know, after we opened the floodgates, we literally have about 33 deals on the table right now. Jeez. And, it's and you know, right, we just opened our doors 10 days ago to anybody that makes music, and we were working with our early adopters who are already established producers, and we've had about 700 established producers from, you know, Billboard chart toppers to people who are, you know, not as famous but still make great music and are respected within the community, so forth and so on. But we've able to be play 16 songs already at this very early stage, and we've already had 6 number ones in Japan, whether it's in albums or it's online music or as singles. So, you know, the industry is very, very excited for using our to use our platform, just because, you know, we open up their world. Like, you know, a lot of Japanese A&Rs, you know, they don't really know too many foreign producers, because first of all, it's hard to communicate, like, for them, you know, because they don't speak English. How are they going to work out the deals? Or they have to go through someone they know who knows that producer. So essentially, they'll be asking a middleman to come in between. And we all know what happens when middlemen get involved. The track fees go up. So now the record labels are overpaying for the song. But at the same time, they take cuts from the creators, which is, you know, which will end up, you know, being for the creators to be making less. And our goal is really to cut that middleman out, and being able to provide, you know, fair value songs at fair value to the record labels, but at the same time letting the producers keep all of the royalties. So we don't take on the pro plan, we don't take any royalties if a song is placed. So that's all yours. And we're obviously, you know, like, we have a lot of creators that are signed to, you know, SMP, UMP, all these publishers, you know, and we're more than happy to accommodate that too. And we've I think about 4 songs that we've placed, 4 or 5 songs that we've placed, had a bunch of different writers, had a bunch of different, you know, publishers involved, but we were able to, you know, communicate and be kind of like the intermediary between the two parties to make sure the deal goes on. So we are our stance is very neutral. So basically, you know, we tell the record labels what the creator, like, when a hold is is requested for a song, we actually contact the creator, their management, their publishers, whoever that's tied to this song, their co-writers, their publishers, their managers, to make sure that the song is available first. And then second of all, we ask for their terms. So what's the track fee? What are their terms? And we take that and we go back to the record label who's asking for the hold and tell them, yes, it's available. And these are the initial terms that the writers are asking for. Yeah. And so then the labels might be like, okay, that's fine. Or most of the time they're like, the track fees are a little bit too high, because track fees are a little lower in Japan. But you know, that you shouldn't be discouraged through that, because there's so many other avenues to monetize, you know, once you release in Japan. And, you know, I think our job right there is just to make sure that these deals go through as seamlessly as possible. And we've been able to do that with our 11 person team that's based in London, New York, California, Korea, and Japan. So there's been a lot going on there.
Yeah. And I like how like you're mentioning how there's a lot of opportunity for people just in the West. Like, one thing that I could tell you from working with all of the people that I work with is people, their visions don't, with their music, it doesn't stretch as far as opportunities that are far West, right? You know, most artists that I've seen in this play have always focused on just being on streaming platforms, right? You know, they just want to be on streaming platforms. I may get the person every now and then that wants to be in TV and film, but that's like super far and few in between. But that's just one of many different avenues that you could generate revenue in this industry, right? So it's really cool to hear that, you know, this platform is bridging that gap between East and West. So really my next question for you is, What else is happening with the platform to bridge that gap between the East and the West in terms of music discovery and collaboration? Like, what does that look like?
So basically we get briefs from around the world, like numerous briefs every week. And so we choose the briefs that we put on our platform, and we open that opportunity for all of our producers. So basically, once we send, if you log into your creators page, the first thing you see is all the briefs, like, you know, that's still open, and the ones that are closed, you can see them on the bottom. And there's so many briefs and so many opportunities you could apply to. And then you basically click on the brief, you read the description of what they're looking for. There's URL references there for you to check out on YouTube.
So nice.
And once you listen to it and you feel like something in your catalog matches it, you could just click submit and it'll go to your catalog, and you just click which songs you want to submit, enter, that's it. And it goes into the director's. Yeah.
That's crazy. So it sounds too good. It sounds really good. I'm not going to lie to you.
So, you know, I mean, like, we wanted to make it so simple that, you know, even kids can use it pretty much. And, you know, this is also one of our big missions at Surf, is to really, you know, create that, you know, transparent pathway for the next generation of producers. And our strengths are going to be put into a lot of musical education, not only on the creating side, but also on the business side, because, you know, kids are being exploited in everywhere in the world, you know, like $600 buyout for a track, no royalties. It happens all the time. And, you know, and the artists will make millions off of that song, and the kids see nothing. And that's like, that's, you know, we really don't want to protect, you know, especially the younger producers that haven't been in the game for so long. They don't know what's the norm. What are they supposed to be making? Yeah. Like, all these, you know, unknowns are, you know, like, we have to be able to educate, you know, the producers about the difference in business styles in Korea, which is different from Japan, which is different from India, which is different from, so every region has its own business practices in music. And it's a discovery process for us too. As we open up new markets, we are doing a lot of learning too. So, you know, we've launched in the US, Korea, and Japan so far, but later in this year we plan plan to hopefully go into Europe, and also South America. And next year, our big goal is China.
Yeah, I love it. I love the
Yep.
expansion.
Yep.
Yeah, and since we're on the subject of,
Yes.
artists needing that level, needing education, right? I
Yes.
think it is important to dive into what the importance and power of exclusive placements are for artists and how surf music facilitates this.
Yeah, so exclusive placements is essentially when a song has not been the way that we tell our creators, when they put their music up, is that it can't be streamed anywhere, and and you cannot have licensed it to anybody. So it's basically fresh out of your computer, like no one's heard it before. You put that up, and then the big artists would want to, especially in Asia, they don't like anything that's been streamed for their new song. I know in the States, like a lot of A&Rs go to SoundCloud or YouTube to find beats, and that's cool. But like for Japan, they really don't like that. If it's been streamed on YouTube, they would not take it. So I mean, it's just like it's different, right? But you wouldn't
It's
have
just a part
not have
of,
known that, right?
yeah, it's
Yeah.
just a part of something else where we're not from, right? Like you said, there's different standards, rules, the business is ran in different ways. So that's a really good caveat to know.
And we don't do licensing yet, just because obviously the licensing space has been oversaturated. There's a lot of players out there that are doing this, but there's really no one doing what we do, which is exclusive placements, as if you hired a manager that's going to go and pitch your music to the record labels
And it's
to
just
go get you. Exactly.
the
And but there I must say though, like there every playlist that will be curated by your AI, we still have our curation team look it
Oh,
through
very
and make
good.
sure every so there is
A human
it's a
touch.
human aspect, a human touch to it. And also, our curators are constantly listening to music that when they find good ones, they put it in their folders themselves. So when these pitch comes, they're like, oh, this is perfect. They start, they're so passionate about like making, getting the right music to the right people that, and I started doing this when we first were beta testing Surf maybe like 2 to 3 years ago. I was the one doing all the playlists, and I noticed that like I am getting old because and I noticed that I'm getting old because some of this music I didn't understand. It wasn't in my repertoire, but like kids are loving it, which means that it's like, when our parents, back when we were kids, we were listening to music, your parents are like, turn that off, it's so loud, I don't get that music, like listen to Elvis, listen to Frank Sinatra. Like that's the kind of phase that I am in. So as a creator, of course I still create, but I've moved myself into more of like the coaching side, where I really want to put emphasis on mentoring the next generation of producers.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. And I can tell you that, like, anybody hearing this should really be viewing you as a superhero right now, because this is definitely some superhero activity going on right now. Honestly, I want to know how does your experience as a songwriter and producer influence the way that you run this platform?
So basically, I've always had my, questions about the royalty systems in Japan, the way, songs have been, chosen. And a lot of even in the States, it's very clicky, like everyone just has, they just got their crew, they got, they've got their people where they get their music from, but they really haven't expanded, and I think this platform really enables them to do that. And like all the frustrations that I've encountered as a songwriter and also as a director for the on the buyer's side, we've actually tried to solve all these problems with Surf. And I could tell you right now, we're maybe 3 to 5% of what we want to put in has been built in right now, but obviously it's been the response has been great and people are really excited, but this is just the beginning of our journey. And we will give back to creators in any way we can. And as a creator myself and being signed to big management, I know how it feels to be taken advantage of in a sense also, and I don't want if there's something that I can share to the next generation of do not do's, I do want to tell them. So they don't, I mean, it's like the stereotypical story of a producer, and he gets, he's just, I was just a creator. I didn't want to handle the business side. I just wanted to stay in the studio and make music. And that led me to, certain events that happened in my career that really opened my eyes. And I think, I'm really here, with Surf Music to make sure that doesn't happen and really create that transparency. So, so we'll be providing, creators with analytics, for example, to, so we're not just a service that's like, oh, we're placing your songs. They're like, how do we know? You'll get YouTube style video analytics of each song to see who's been listening to it. At what part of the song did they stop listening to it? In what regions have they been listened to the most? So based on these kind of analytics too, we'll in the future, we'll be able to provide you with regions where your music is more compatible with. So say, for example, you might have a hit potential of maybe 20% chance in the States. You might have 80% in Malaysia based on your catalog, based on what the hit charts are there. You know, as long as we let our AI learn, anything we wanted to learn, right? Basically, it'll be able to give suggestions based upon the data points that it has learned. So, being able to recommend regions is another thing that we're very excited to bring out in the coming future.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's good. I really love how AI is just coming in and just making a heck of a huge difference for a lot of industries, including the music industry. It is really changing the music industry as we know it. I mean, shoot, when we thought streaming was changing the music industry, which it absolutely has, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But AI has totally come in and just said, I'm the big kahuna right now. it's actually really...
Yeah, and that's kind of scary too. I mean, think about it, because the progression of how technology has helped this industry, and changed this industry. Probably first and one of the biggest ones is Pro Tools, right? Once you don't have to record on tape anymore, you can record on your hard drive. That's great. And the next was kind of like, the whole streaming movement, right? Like now people could pick and choose music as they wish. So like artist power is, I feel, is not as relevant as it used to be, because a lot of people, they're like, oh, that's my jam, I love this song. It's like, who sang it? They're like, I don't know. They're like, I keep hearing it on Spotify. I'm like, all right, so the song speaks for itself now, which is great.
Yeah.
And there was that whole phase where Splice and a bunch of sampling, LoopCloud, all these sampling sound sites came out, and that really revolutionized the industry in that you don't have to be able to play music anymore, to be honest with you. And a good example is my six-year-old son. He made three songs already. His first one he made when he was five, and I actually played that for one of the Sony directors, and they're like, oh, I like this song, can we just change the top line? And they're like, who's this writer? My son's name is Dean. So I'm like, oh, it's DJ Dean. They're like, you're Dean, the six-year-old one? I'm like, yeah. They're like, no way. I'm like, see, this proves a point that kids are making, like elementary kids can make a song that, record labels react to. And I think, this whole, it's just been a very, very interesting journey, but, which gives us even more reason to, really, really push our mission and
absolutely,
and really connect the global, music industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you really raised a good point at how AI is, it's a gift, but it can also be a curse at the same time and present even more challenges for the artists. There's no secret. We already know that they face a bunch of challenges in the music industry. But what I want to know is how exactly is Surf helping musicians overcome those challenges?
So I think, well, how we're helping them right now is obviously connecting them to the right buyers. But how we're going to help them from now on is to really connect and find a place within our community where they can build writing teams, where where beat makers could who don't do top line who could put up a track and be like, somebody, I'm looking for a top line for this, and people could collaborate on making top lines and splits generated after the song is done, so it's in the metadata. So you can't be like, oh, that there was an a actually another writer on that, my boy was in the room, you know. It happens all the time, right? So you're like, from three writers, you're up to like seven writers, and like someone's auntie's in there too, right? I mean your Uber delivery guys probably got it rented too. But that's how it kind of is. But so making sure that they build a community around them that they could trust and be able to collaborate for different opportunities globally, I think, is the way that we're helping them. And we also did a really cool project with a Japanese company. I mean, I'm not allowed to say the name of it yet, but
That's
everyone
fine.
knows this, animation, whatever. But basically, they wanted to do a song using a sample from their game and then the anime to be in the track. So we actually did a competition within our platform for this big opportunity, and we found a writer, a track maker in LA, a Japanese track maker collaborated with writers in LA to make this track. We have a very big artist in Japan that's going to be singing it. And for the top line, once we got the track, we sent out another competition within our community to do top lining. And a guy from Paris, an independent writer named Jean Castel, he won this competition. And it's going to be released later this year. And so basically,
That's
a
crazy.
project that stemmed from a Japanese corporation sourced tracks from Japan and LA and got a top liner from Paris, and then all was recorded in LA with some of the LA lyricists out there too. So this whole thing would not have happened without Surf Music.
That's
And
wild.
so it's like all these kinds of opportunities that would not have existed without us. Like, we plan to do a lot more of this, finding different ways, not just the traditional, placing your song with record labels, but working with companies that are interested in having, exclusive content really to uplift their brand. And these are the kind of opportunities we provide creators with. Also, obviously, helping them out in terms of negotiating deals. We do all of that on behalf of them, because right now we do have a chat feature in our platform where creators can add friends, and if they get accepted, now they could chat together. And this chat is an AI-based chat which does automatic, like, instantaneous translation as you're typing. So you could set your system to English. I could set mine to Japanese. I could be typing Japanese all too, and all you see is English, and you just reply in English, and all I see is Japanese. So then we're like, that was the first barrier that I was talking about, the language barrier.
A good word.
Slowly but surely, we're chipping away at that, and we'll see where that goes. But now, people can communicate, and we've tested it with a lot of the business deal terms and music business lingo, and it translates pretty darn accurately. So we're very, very happy with that. I think, the next steps in connectivity, maybe, I don't know yet, but maybe like an instantaneous, chat as I'm speaking, all you're hearing is like, English, and I'm actually speaking Japanese. That'd be crazy. But like,
That doesn't sound far-fetched. I mean, maybe like a year ago that would have sounded far-fetched, but like now, that doesn't sound far-fetched at all.
So, we're trying to really connect them with, and let them meet people and even find mentors, people that they want to, to apprentice under, or even, if you're a starting producer and you don't know any musicians, if you want like a live guitar part played on your song, say for example, now you could just go into Surf, and we'll have the studio musicians page too that we're thinking of opening, where, well, studio musicians will be able to basically advertise themselves, like, this is my discography, I played for these artists, so forth and so on. You can be able to book time with them and actually have them play on your song. And we're also working on different tools that they could actually get the recording done within our platform. But that's, you know, that's up and coming. I can't really talk about that yet,
Yeah,
but
all
that
good,
would be
all
something.
good.
I mean, there's
Yeah.
so many things in the pipeline right now, but you know, any and as I always say, like, you know, we're not just building this platform for us just because we think these are the problems, but we
Yeah.
really want to be building this platform with our users, and we think that their feedback, their, you know, their requests of certain features, these are the things that we really want to focus in and try and getting in, because we want to make it, you know, the creator's dream platform. That's the first thing when they wake up, they want to go on and see what their community's up to, what different
Yeah.
projects, who's working with, do they need someone else to join in, like all these things. They'll kind of like give you direction as a producer, because it's really hard, as you probably know. Like when I come into the studio, it's like, okay, let me make a song. I'm just so used to,
Right.
like, you know, people asking me to make a song for this artist in this style. It's like, okay, I can do
Yeah.
that. But then when I go in there, like what, all right, what should I maybe go through Splice, get some inspiration, pick up a guitar, like, you know,
Yeah.
it, and a lot of the day gets wasted, and we, us producers, we all know how much time we waste when we make music. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
But you know, just so that, you know, each creator can have more focus for their daily tasks. Also, I think this will be a great tool for them to use.
I love it, man. I love it that you speak so passionately about it. I love it. This is my like one of probably one of my favorite parts about doing this is when like I literally, like I told you before we kicked off, how like I just get to just nerd out with people and their platforms and what they've created. I think it's super, super dope. So as you were talking about everything, I was thinking like specifically, you know, geographically about where you were, and I was thinking in my mind, I was like, isn't karaoke a big thing over there, right? Karaoke is huge, a
Yes,
huge market, right? So can we just
it
take
is
a
huge.
little bit of time and discuss the impact of karaoke royalties? Because like I said before, like people, you know, a lot of the folks that I've worked with, the artists that I know, they're not thinking that far, right? And like I always urge people to understand that you can do a heck of a whole lot with your music, more than you might be, think that you can. So karaoke is certainly one. I love karaoke. It's one of those things. So let's talk about how it's had an impact on royalties in your music career and the differences between this and earning royalties on streams.
Yeah, so karaoke, as you know, is huge in Asia, and
Yeah.
especially, and speaking like in terms of Japan, like Japanese people really only a really small percentage goes clubbing, you know, but
Yeah.
everyone does karaoke. If you have, you know, there's individual karaoke booths for people that want to go by themselves. Like it's like there's a karaoke spot like every other like block pretty
That's
much, and there's like
crazy.
tens of thousands in the city of just like buildings of karaoke booths. And you know, it was one of the favorite pastimes here in Asia. And on top of that, you know, you the creators can actually earn royalties per song. If their song is sung one time, they'll be making royalties. So basically they make around 5 to 9 cents per time the song is sung. And from there, obviously, it gets distributed, but that's about like 100x of a stream, pretty much.
That's crazy. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
And so, like, as an example, I did write this song called Thori by this artist called AI. And it turned out that I think the song was like the seventh most sung karaoke song in history, in this, like, in the modern day. And the royalties from that, I could tell you, are very healthy. You know, you can expect, you know, a song like that to generate, you know, probably like $80,000 to $100,000 a year at least on karaoke royalties. And you know, being a very popular wedding song, when it wedding season comes, bam, it goes up, and it continues and continues and continues. So royalties will be, after like 50 years after I die, like my kids will
Yeah,
still be
that's
getting these
crazy.
royalties, you
Yeah.
know. And it's unlike a club hit that goes out of style, like a karaoke hit. Like when you go to karaoke, do you sing the new stuff or do you go for your old jams?
It's oldies. It's always oldies.
Right? Right, and that's my point. It's like for and like the younger generations would actually practice the new songs and the moves and everything to impress their friends or whatnot. But for us, it's like for our generation, we still go to karaoke at age 40, you know, in Japan. And for us, it's like the oldies. So like, you know, it's kind of like the legacy catalog is constantly being sung every day. And it's just someone is singing karaoke right now. In at least 100 stalls, just in Shibuya right now, I am sure. You know, and if you have a hit song, it's like literally, you know, they have a different companies of these karaoke companies that create these machines, and it tracks everything digitally. So it's not like you know, each karaoke store reporting how, like how it used to be back in when it started, right? But now everything is all digitalized,
Digital, yeah.
and Jazzrak collects on behalf, and it gets distributed. So it's definitely a very good opportunity, and especially if you create one karaoke hit, you know, you're pretty much, you know, set. At least you'll have a cushion to lie on, and then from there you start building, you know, creating more songs and building up your catalog.
Yeah, that's super wild. So it's just so interesting to think about all these different avenues, and it's so fascinating to me that, like, I mean, obviously we do it, we do the karaoke over here. I know a few places not too far away from me, but I know it's a huge thing over there to the point where it could literally catapult someone's song into some crazy change in their pocket, you know? And it's just and how instantaneous this can happen with the use of a platform like Surf just makes it that much sweeter. So here's what I want to know next, man, because you're totally a visionary. I can see this already. How do you see the music industry evolving in the next few years, and how is Surf music adapting to these changes?
I think, you know, surf in terms of music wise, there's going to be a lot more content that's going to be produced over the next years. And the reason being is that the number of music creators are exponentially growing per year. And the demographics of the average age of people making music has been going down too. And so it's our job as Surf Music to be able to take all those creators, to bring them onto our platform, to give them a safe place to be, that you know, their music is actually protected and also pitched to the right people, and making sure that, you know, that our AI is smart enough by then to determine what is essentially a hit song, what's not a hit song, on top of, you know, sounding alike to the references. But being able to create these kind of tools for the buyer's side so that they could seamlessly, you know, search for their songs, and there's going to be more releases coming out, and not necessarily all from major labels. There's going to be more independent artists that are going to want to, you know, place in Asia or in regions where they have no presence. So we want to be there for them also. And you know, essentially doing what we do on a bigger scale, just because the music industry is gonna change, you know, and there's gonna be more creators. Another thing is, you know, there's gonna be a lot more AI generated music, and
Oh
just
yeah,
how like
we've seen it.
Spotify took down a catalog from this big company just the other day. You know what I'm talking about, you know. That's gonna happen more and more, and I think it's gonna be a conversation of, so what is composition? Is taking a bunch of samples from Splice, putting it together, and then finding some vocals somewhere like on a LoopCloud or something that are already licensed, you can, and putting the vocals there, is that an original composition? You know, these kind of
Philosophical
questions, like
question.
it is. So what is creating? You know, is it playing an instrument? Now it's not. Like, you could use Splice and people still, you know, and that's an original piece of work. But once you start having AI generate it, like, oh, I want it to sound like David Guetta. Like, if ChatGPT came out with like music and I want to sound like David Guetta and like featuring this and that, this artist, I want the artist to sound like in this vibe, and you click enter and it produces you a song. You directed the AI to create this, but the AI is basing all this information on references that it's learned before from other songs. So who really owns the song. And this came up with, I think with AI generated graphics and pictures and whatnot, how Google took
With the
that
art.
down. Because that's just, I mean, music is art too, like where
Correct.
do you draw the line? And I think it's gonna be our challenge to really make sure that people are educated about this and legally too. Like what's as lawmakers are like right now it's in a super gray zone, this AI generated content. But that's gonna get clearer as time comes. And our goal is really to make sure that creators know about this and also learn to use AI responsibly to enhance their music making process instead of just generating and making it for you, So I mean, but there is no right or wrong, because like 10, like 20 years ago when I first started, I was against sampling music. I wanted to make music that will get sampled in the future. So I never sampled anything and I played everything live. We did it all in the studio and we spent a lot of time on it, but that was like, just using these samples. Even if I found a sample, I'll just replay it, if anything, because I was like, it just feels weird, using someone's, like a sample library of doing that. But then now the norm is you whip up something in Splice and bam, it's done. And but that's okay within the music community now. It's not like, like they don't use the word finger producer anymore. Back in the day when I started, it was either you were like, playing an instrument and you could compose, or you were a finger producer. Like were some of the terms that were used. But now it's like there is no difference between that, and how AI plays a part in the future of the music will be very interesting. And also, music performances. Now you could have virtual versions of yourself running around on Web3 and doing like virtual live concerts and not even be there. I mean, like these kind of, I mean, there's gonna be, there's
There's a
so many
lot.
different avenues,
There's a lot.
but it creates more opportunities for the creators for their music to be showcased on different platforms, but also, being able to generate royalties from that. So, there's I think it's, as Surf, we just want to make sure that our core, which is, bringing power back to the creators and really bridging the East to the West, is fulfilled, in whatever we do. And we just have to see how the music industry trends go, and we will pivot if needed. But I think we're on a steady track. We know for a fact that music's not going anywhere. Everyone's going to constantly be making music, and if anything, be making more of it, because it's so much easier to make music now.
That's
And
true.
our job is to be able to support these kind of creators, to give them opportunities in different pillars, different avenues of revenue, but also, introduce them into different regions where they don't have any presence.
That's major too. I could tell you on behalf of them in advance. Thank you. Thank you. Right. Because that's a really big weight that you're putting on your shoulder, responsibility that you're taking on. And that definitely needs to be acknowledged. I mean, that's a big deal, man. So thank you.
I mean, it doesn't it yep.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
No. To me, it doesn't feel like work or a burden. It's
That's
just
good.
like it's this true passion. It's the first thing that gets me up in the morning is that we're making a difference. Slowly but surely, we're making a difference.
I love it. And I love how strongly you support independent musicians and their creativity. How would you say that surf music ensures that artists retain their creative control over the work, even when they're licensing it to others?
Well, they won't be licensing it technically, but basically, like, when the record label pays for the track fee, it's basically saying that this arrangement of this song is exclusive to us, not the song,
Okay,
just the
got it, got
arrangement,
it,
right?
got it, got
So
it.
you can't reuse this track, put a different top line, and go sell to someone else. You know what I mean? So, but in terms of since we're not a licensing site, they do keep whatever percentage they're entitled to.
Got
If
it.
they're in with the publisher gets their cut, we don't get in between any of the royalties, is what I mean by they get all the royalties that they deserve.
That's beautiful. Yeah, cool. And then I've got one more for you, man. And then actually, no, I got a couple. I got a couple. I want to know what are the future plans for or developments for surf music that you're the most excited about? And I'm sure you're excited about all of them, but what are some that you can share right now?
I think, our schedule for development for this year is going to be focused on the creator's login. Right now, it's very basic. You upload your tracks, it gets tagged by AI, you can submit to briefs, and you can meet other producers and become friends and start chatting. But from here, like really building out the community aspect of the creator side will be our primary focus. And there's a lot of things that we're going to be putting in there that will make a lot of creators happy and be engaged with us. So, I just don't want people to think of us as a music placement, platform, because as we all know, maybe not even 1% of that will be placed. The million songs that get uploaded, and the
I mean,
percentages,
that transparency is beautiful. That's well respected. And I want people to zero in on that too.
And the thing is, like, if we based it on that, if people aren't getting placements, they'll be discouraged and they'll quit. If that's all they're there to do, and that's just a tiny aspect of what we provide them with. And I think that the main value to what Surf can bring creators is building a community and being part of a community, working with people that are better than you, so you can get placements in different markets to get your career started. Really, finding people that feel your music and that want to work with you. It's just this whole what we don't get to do as creators normally, unless you're like constantly on Instagram and this and that, DMing people. And I've done that too. Like, when I first
That's
started,
rough.
getting, so like we've talked to like at least 600 of our person, of our creators one-on-one, like an hour conversation like this, like over the years. And we built relationships with them. And of course, as we scale, we won't be able to do that, but still, like, I want to still maintain that human element so that it's just not, this platform that's running the show. But I think half of our value at Surf Music is the people that work with us, and our 11 person team is everyone's been in different pillars of the industry, from publishing, management, to creator, to so they get it.
You get
It's
it.
like it's like you don't have yeah And that's how, like, I think a lot of the creators have appreciated us, in taking time to really discuss what do they want in their music future, in their career. What are the certain goals they want to attain, and how can we help them do that? And I think those are our conversations that we have constantly with our creators. So we want to build in something like that inside the community aspect for the creators, so they feel like, and they know that we're supporting them, not just a platform. So different elements of development are happening right now. And yeah, once it's done and I could talk about it, I'd definitely like to share it
Yeah,
with
I
you.
understand. No, but that's all really exciting stuff. So before we wrap things up, I want to ask you one last question. What advice would you give to an up and coming artist looking to succeed in the music industry today? If you could give it to me in 30 seconds, how would you place that?
I would say, be true to yourself. And it is a cutthroat industry. I mean, only a small percentile can make it as full-time musicians. But if you love it that much and you believe in it that much, put in the work and you will see results. It sounds cliche, but to me,
I
it's
know
worked
it. No,
for
but
me.
it's the truth, though. It's the truth. It's the truth. Stay consistent. I love it. Well, Kenneth, I want to say thank you so much. I really appreciate your time coming up here. I know it's probably what, first thing in the morning for you, right?
No, it's like 10 a.m. It's
10
I've
a.m.
had meetings since 5.
Oh, sweet. Sweet, sweet. Yeah. Well, regardless, man, thank you so much for your time. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
you coming
It's
up
been a
here,
pleasure.
sharing all this information about this wonderful platform, man. And tell the people listening to this right now, if they want to get started with Surf, what exactly do they need to do?
If you want to get started with surf, just go onto the web at www.discover.surf. And from there, you just have to click whether you're a creator or a buyer. And if you're a creator, you have a questionnaire of what kind of creator you are. Click the boxes, and then you can start your free trial. And we do have discount codes that we could provide you with also, like for all you listeners on this podcast right now. We could we'll hand that out to Kareem, so you could distribute that to any of your listeners if you like. And yeah, and that's it. And then you just have to upload your catalog from up your up, upload your catalog onto the platform. Everything gets tagged by AI, and then you're
Beautiful.
all set to go. Then from there, you just go and find other producers that interest you, and try to make some friends. And as we build out these new features, you'll be the first to know about them.
Sweet, man. Well, thank you so much for that.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. Before we wrap things up, I want to remind you of something very, very important. As an independent musician, monetizing your music following and turning your fans into paying customers can be a challenge, but it does not have to be. If you're looking to unlock the secret to growing and monetizing your fan base, I have this free training that can help. In this training, you're going to learn proven strategies for turning your fans into consistent profit, even if you feel like you've tried everything under the sun. To access this free training, simply just click the link in the show notes. Once you've watched the training, schedule a call with me. In just 45 minutes, I'm going to help you craft the exact strategy you need to start converting your fans to cash. So do not wait. Click that link now and take the first step toward monetizing your music following. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.